Nicole hosts Easter every year. That's why she shops at BJ's Wholesale Club, stocking up on spiral ham, baked goods, fresh flowers, candy, and 5 dozen eggs.
I've got a lot of baskets to fill.
Nicole's not worried because she knows she can save big and get it all done in one trip.
It's like winning the Easter egg hunt.
When you save, everyone wins. Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 in one transaction now through April 5th. Visit BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's, your Easter destination.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number three of The Usual Suspects is upon us. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday here at the Gao Media Studios. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. As we always remind you, leading off hour number three, go to ESPN975.com. You can download the app and take us anywhere and everywhere. And if you ever miss anything on the show, click on the show tab. You'll see the first 2 hours. You can catch up on what you missed and never miss another moment again.
Never, ever, ever. Can I switch gears for a second?
Absolutely.
Do you mind?
Well, no.
Did you see? Did you know there is a new podcast getting set to hit the market? And no, it's not my award-winning. Well, I've only had two interviews.
Is it called The 16?
No.
No?
Can you believe Ron Burgundy is going to have his own podcast?
Oh,
I would tune into that.
I was going to say, that may get some followings and some
I had no idea, but I would tune into that.
I am so damn excited about this. But yeah, Ron Burgundy is going to have his very own podcast. And I'm not sure the exact launch date, but when I find out, I'll let you know. But I want to say they said sometime mid-2019. But
just the commercial for the Dan Patrick show when he was on that day.
Yeah.
All the things he did. Carrying the 40 and the donuts, taking balls in the balls. And
I saw a preview. They had some sort of thing where he interviewed the San Diego mascot.
Chicken?
Yeah.
The old one?
Yeah. And they was asking him just all kinds of crazy questions.
Obviously, the chicken can't talk.
Yeah, but he was like, what came first? And then it was just a montage of a minute of him asking, like, do you taste like chicken? Like, he was asking, like, these ridiculous questions. And then the reveal is it's the San Diego chicken. And I was like, oh, yes. I'm so in on this, whatever it is. And even if it's, I hope it's not video-based, because that
sucks.
I was
just going to ask you that. Do we know that?
Well, this one was a video, but it's a podcast. So you assume that since it's a podcast, I mean, the whole point of that was that it was shows that were on your Apple iPod, so it was a podcast. Mm-hmm. So it was meant for audio. I hope it's not a video only.
I
hope it's not a video that where you have to see it to get all the jokes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But I would think because it's Ron Burgundy and Will Ferrell, he's going to want to do video if he can.
Oh, I'm sure.
But again,
but I mean, Joe Rogan does that where it's live. I mean, you can see it, but you can also listen to the Joe Rogan podcast and get the same experience.
So let me ask you guys, how technically difficult is it? If he wants to do a video podcast and the person that he's interviewing is across the country and you got to do split screen and
Skype or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure he's big enough to the point where a guest will join him in studio.
I mean, we don't do that on the15podcast.com. I mean, that's not the name. It's just called the 15, but shameless plug. But no, I mean, you can do it like Skype. You could do there are a couple of different options. And a lot of them, I imagine, though, being in L.A., he's going to have a lot of people that are in L.A. that just show up to do it. Kind of like Joe Rogan. Like, he'll have guys that are in town do the podcast while they're there. So,
right. Snoop Dogg does the same thing.
Yep.
I would love Ron Burgundy interviewing Leon the Ladies Man.
That would be good.
That would be entertaining.
What would be great is if Ron Burgundy interviewed Will Ferrell.
Oh, that'd be good, too.
That'd be funny.
You could pull that off.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, because you could ask the questions. Obviously, you just ask them all as Ron Burgundy, and then you just switch the camera over, and then you just edit it together. I think that would be dope. They need to make that happen.
He could do it, too.
I'm so pumped about this, though.
Yeah, that's big news. That's actually very cool. Yeah. Your Rockets on the floor. They got what we had asked for. Surprisingly enough, with Chris Paul in the lineup Friday night, they get hammered by the Nuggets.
Hammered them.
And on Saturday night against the Jazz without Chris Paul, they win.
Crazy.
Crazy as it may be. Now they're playing Phoenix tonight. And oh, by the way, Eric Gordon has tweaked his hamstring again. He won't play tonight, but they're expecting him to play later in the week. And of course, all that being said, with the trade deadline looming this week, the first major deal going down, Rodney Hood, who I said would have been a perfect fit for the Rockets, goes to Portland for 2 second-round picks and 2 expiring contracts, including Nick Stauskas. But
I think they have hamstring disease. Is it just the Rockets, or is that every team? I mean, hammy after hammy, and not the same player. Like,
at some point, it gets reflective on their medical staff, like it or not. Just like the Texans when they had all these injuries to Kuti and Braxton Miller and all these guys. My good friend is their head trainer, but you kind of expect at a certain point they're going to start trying to figure out where to point the finger. But yeah, the hamstring thing with the Rockets is crazy.
So I was looking on Hoops Hype for trade rumors. And as of 24 minutes ago, now there's a more previous tweet, but it's a little bit longer. But as of 24 minutes ago, Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN SportsCenter right now, there's still a long way to go before New Orleans and the Lakers have the possibility of a deal.
But that the Lakers supposedly have also upped their ante. They've sweetened the pot.
And we've all assumed that the Lakers were the only team that Anthony Davis would be willing to sign with, and apparently he's opened that up to an additional 4 teams, according to Woj.
Okay, so yeah, 10 minutes ago, Magic Johnson, Dell Demps talked twice today, per source. Lakers willing to give Pelicans cap relief for Anthony Davis by taking Solomon Hill for Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Beasley, 2 first-round picks.
Oh, here's the thing. If I'm New Orleans, those three guys...
You're just becoming the Lakers.
Yeah, but those three guys are the guys I got to have. Now, Josh Hart would be a nice piece, too. But the discussion starts for me with Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma and picks. Then if you want to mix and match for the rest of the year, you know, we know that Rondo and Stevenson are on 1-year deals. So you don't worry about that because they go away at the end of the year anyway. And you're not going anywhere. You just need that money at the end of the year. But don't start with the big foreign kid and a draft pick and 2 of those guys. You come to me with your offer that is going to make sense for me.
I mean, you're trading 5 guys for 2.
Yep. I don't need Solomon Hill either. I'll just give me Anthony Davis, and I'll give you those 3 guys in a 1 and
so
be done.
So most teams carry what, 12? They go 12 deep?
15 on the roster. 12 are active.
Okay. Boy, they're going to really suck this year. They're really going to have a good first-round pick. If you get rid of Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, and Lance Stevenson, and Beasley, and you're getting back Anthony Davis.
I disagree with you.
You want Ball or you want Rondo?
I
would go Ingram.
I would keep one of them.
I think Rondo should stay with the Lakers.
I'm with you. I'm with you in that regard because I think he can play a role. You need a guy.
God,
that,
the other night against
you need
Golden State? Did you see him? Sorry. Did you see him the other night?
No.
Triple-double? I mean, he's killing it with LeBron out.
You need a point guard that can still shoot, and that's not Lonzo Ball because you know that LeBron James is going to bring the ball up. So you need a guy. I'm not saying Rondo's a great shooter, but Ball is awful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would like Rondo, and I agree with you. It's probably better off for the Lakers if Rondo remained in the Lakers jersey. Yes. But I would do Ingram, Kuzma, and Rondo. Lonzo, obviously not, you know, a lot of his hype came from his father. But $9 million, not that massive of a salary. So I can see why people want to throw in Ball. But I like Ingram. I like Kuzma. I like Rondo. And if you could get 2 first-round picks, which I don't think you can, but if you can,
but all that
that'd
probably,
be fantastic.
But they probably have to do all that to make the money match. Like, you can't just
That's
exclude
true. You
any
have to come
guy
within
from
15%.
That. You probably have to do all of that to make the money match, which means, yeah, you're going to be top-heavy. You're going to have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You're going to have 2 of the best 5 to 7 players in the NBA. That's great, but you ain't going to have anything else. I mean, nothing.
See, but here's my thing, why I disagree with you for this year. I think because it's so muddled up in the West. They're 9 or 10 right now. They're 3 games out of being 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So I think as long, depending on if you don't have to give up all the veterans, like I would, I said, as a playoff coach on the floor, established point guard, I think best scenario is Rondo stays. But if you give up all those guys and you keep Josh Hart and you keep JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler for bigs.
But you don't need that with Zubac. Anthony Davis. Why would you keep three bigs?
Depends on who you play. Certain lineups, you need to go a little bigger. If you play Utah with Favors and Gobert, you need an extra big, and those guys can't play long minutes, especially Tyson Chandler, right? So you got Zubats, you got JaVale McGee, who has a tendency to foul. But other than that, you still keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You keep some guys that at least can be rotational players for you. And I think the Lakers are better than the Clippers. We talked about this. Better than some teams where they could still be a playoff team. But if I'm New Orleans, you're not going anywhere anyway. Get some young guys you can try and build around.
You're trading two starters and four prominent bench players in Rondo, Stevenson, Beasley, and Ball. Because right now, according to the depth chart, they've got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as the starting point guard, which... What?
No, I'm with you. I just think you're right. Because the biggest thing is salary cap. I would think that that's an offer, and then they start weeding it down. Because Davis is at 23. I don't know what Solomon Hill's at. I can look it up. But if Solomon Hill is a big number, I don't want him anyway. Unless you really are hell-bent on getting some of my other rotational players that are expiring at the end of the year.
I think it's to relieve the...
Yeah, they want them off the books.
Yeah, and that's probably... So that's, I think that's part of the Lakers trying to sweeten the pot by saying, look, we'll take him off your hands. But damn, that just seems like a lot when you're adding... So you're adding Anthony Davis. So basically, he plays the four, and Chandler plays... You're going to have Chandler as your big.
Well, you're going to start JaVale McGee, and then you're going to bring Tyson Chandler off the bench. And right. This Zubac's kid can play both positions, okay. And he's got a real nice touch. Offensively, he's going to make his free throw. He's going to make some shots.
And then LeBron James comes back as your small forward.
Right.
Josh Hart, shooting
Pope
guard.
And Caldwell Pope.
Caldwell Pope is a point guard / shooting guard.
Caldwell Pope's basically a 2-3.
And that's great. So they're starting five. Okay. That's legit. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got two of the best 5 to 7 players in the NBA, plus some really good role players around them. But guess what? They can't play all 48. You've got nothing.
But you just mentioned on the two bench. Different positions where you had two different guys. So you have a couple guys that, if they're not starting, come off the bench.
Yeah, but no. That I mean, Pope is going to play one of the guard positions. Hart plays the other.
Oh, my God, Barry. I just looked up Solomon Hill's contract.
But so
Solomon Hill. No one knows him from Adam. No one can tell me where he went to school. You guys want to guess what he's making?
15 a year?
Close.
What?
Solomon Hill is making 12.25.
That's ridiculous.
That's basically what Caldwell Pope is making.
But that seems crazy to me. Because now, look, I'm just looking at the depth chart on ESPN. Because I'm not going to sit here and say I know how deep the Lakers go. But if you go by the depth chart on ESPN, their starting five is Caldwell Pope, Hart, LeBron James when he comes back,
right.
Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. and you said JaVale McGee has been starting. But mm-hmm. they have Tyson Chandler listed as the starter.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That means on their bench, they've got Alex Caruso, Isaac Bonga, Svitslov, Jonathan Williams, Moritz Wagner, Tyson Chandler, and Ivaka Zubac. That's the depth that the Lakers have after their starting five.
You know what I hear there?
Playoffs?
Do you?
Playoffs!
Good luck making a run of the playoffs. They're going to be exhausted.
James Harden isn't?
It doesn't matter at least when James Harden gets everybody healthy on his team, they've got some depth now. They've got Austin Rivers, they've got Green, they've got what's his name?
Yep,
they
that
just
guy.
Went out and get the Manimal.
Freed.
They've the got Manimal. Some depth, and they might still add some depth to it if they go out and get Wesley Matthews or if they,
well, but I was DeAndre just throw Jordan. Out to you, when you're saying the roster for the Lakers, if this trade would happen, mm-hmm. they don't have a lot. But just think about that. All those guys are going to be bought out. Now they got a new team that they want to go to. If you're DeAndre Jordan, if you're Wes Matthews Jr.,
you're not going to the Lakers.
There's a rumor he still got his place in L.A. He wants to go back. What's the difference if it's the Clippers or the Lakers?
Oh, Lord.
They don't need him, though.
Yeah, you might as well trade Chandler or McGee as part of it.
Right.
Yeah, he's not going there.
But the bigger thing is Wes Matthews Jr., Chandler Parsons, guys.
Now, that I could see Wesley Matthews Jr. going there, for sure.
Who's the guy from Golden State that they traded that was in Dallas? It's in Dallas. The wing from North Carolina.
The guy from Golden State.
He was on Golden State's championship team. He's been with the Mavericks. They want to buy him out, too. But there's another guy that, Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
He could be another guy that would go, well, I'm going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think the back half of your rotation, you could fill with guys that are bought out and stuff.
But as is, depth-wise, garbage.
I see.
Garbage.
Right. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Final hour of the show. If you want to reach us, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call or text that number or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show. We appreciate you taking us along for a ride on Monday after Super Bowl. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Fellas, we've been busy, and ladies, we've been busy the last week or so.
Yeah.
We had a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to be more and more focused as the weeks go into this weight loss challenge. But shout out to the suspects that got their own basketball game together on Saturday with Chris Householder in the group. Played a little half-court three-on-three. Burned a little energy. Worked up a sweat. Sent us some pictures along the way. But we appreciate the fact that you guys are using that Facebook page, coming together as suspects and doing some things to kind of cut some pounds and have some fun.
Amen. It looked fun. It looked like they had a good time. I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to actually exercise or anything, but it looked like it was a good time.
I was thinking if we put together our 3-on-3 squad and said we got next.
I'm injured.
I was going to say Nick might take a beating.
What?
I'm fat. That's injured.
No.
Would you stop it?
Get out of here.
If you can take a cross body block knee to the groin from Ashton, you could probably hold your own.
I've never been able to recover from that. It's never been the same on the court with me ever again since Ashton just bulldozed me like
that. He did pretty much Mack truck you.
He did.
Never said he never even tried to pick you up.
Didn't say sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, hate that guy.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Somebody said that podcast, the Ron Burgundy podcast, launches in like 3 or 4 days.
Well, that's even better.
I'm going to give that thing a 5-star.
Ron Burgundy podcast. I'm up to 18 reviews now, so I'm feeling good about myself.
17, you got
17 good ones,
stellar,
and you.
And me.
The 1-star reviewer
out there.
I'm critical.
I'm like Dave Tepper. I'm telling you where you need to improve on your interview skills.
No, you could have at least said
something. I'm going to start giving you more stars.
I need more people to review the podcast. That is true. I need that. It says the Ron Burgundy podcast launches 2/7/19 with new ones every Thursday. Ooh-wee.
That we still haven't confirmed whether or not it's video or audio, though, right?
No, but that is definitely going in the rotation.
Okay.
Either way, I'll put on the YouTubes and listen if I have to. Yeah, somebody texted about the face. Our tight ends suck. Yeah, promote that guy. Sounds like the people at work that get promoted because they hang out with the boss. That's from Chris Householder talking about Timmy Kelly getting promoted. Yeah, it is kind of true.
No doubt, man, that's the thing. I just, again, you want to impress me. You want to make me feel satisfied that they're moving in the right direction. Go outside the organization and get someone that has some credibility.
I'm with you. I'm trashing Nick and Barry in a 3-on-3. That's from White Magic. Ha, bro,
you're trashing.
You sure you're not going to disappear, sir?
Oh, woo! That's exactly where I was going. We know you've talked that talk.
Something tells me, though, that White Magic is a tall dude that's probably athletic. Like
you think so?
He hoops. He hoops because Moochie. That's how I was made aware that he hoops because Moochie told me.
Oh.
Because Mooch filled in for you one time, and he called in.
Is he like white chocolate? Like he's got the handles and all that?
I've never played a game with him.
Okay.
But Moochie said, oh, I know who you're talking about now because he had referenced the fact they've played together.
So he can ball a little bit.
Well, you guys want to go down to Miami if you want to play with him from now on.
Well, I am certainly not the best basketball player in the world. So it's not hard to ball better than me.
I don't know, man. That no-look hook shot from half court could be...
No-look hook shot.
Can be effective.
From 3-point... Yeah, oh, yeah, from
half
court.
Not half court. No, it was not half court.
I'm showing you have more range,
no,
man.
No, it was not half court. It was the 3-point hook shot, and I looked.
Well, see, now you're giving away all the secrets.
No, I just panicked a little bit.
I never understood how you looked with a hook shot anyway. I just felt like it was...
You turn your head, idiot. How do you not understand how you look at a
hook shot? Google Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
I know that. How do you not... But he was also super tall. But, like, for us shorter people, like, you can't really...
It was a panic move, Nick, okay? I freaked out a little bit.
I could never hit a hook shot. That's what I'm saying.
The guy pressed me on defense, and I freaked out, and I threw it up. All right? I panicked. I still looked, but there was no way it was going. No way.
I will straight airball a hook shot. I just can't do it.
Oh, it was. You remember when Carlton shot the ball in the Fresh Prince? And it was all slow motion, and then he just missed everything and hit the wall behind. That was the 3-point hook shot. Just, it was bad. And immediately when I shot it, ball goes out of bounds, and my coach goes, "Timeout, Lavinac, you're out." Like, it was no hesitation. He was like, "This is not for you. You should stick to football and baseball, buddy, because you suck at the basketballs. Get out of here."
They were actually trying to break it down the other night. University of Michigan point guard, who's like 5'10", threw a sky hook up there. And they're like, "Look at this. Who are you kidding? Wasn't planned? This dude had, just like you said, he got into the land of the Giants. He got in panic mode, got crushed, and decided, I'll throw this thing up." But they're going, "Did you see the form on his sky hook? That wasn't a sky hook. That was a mass panic."
First of all, in order to be a sky hook, don't you have to be tall? Because otherwise it's a baby hook.
No, it would help if you're tall.
Kareem was a sky hook because it came from the sky because he was so tall.
Very good point.
Yeah, Magic Johnson did the baby hook shot, right?
Well, he was kind of a tall dude. No, he was like 6'8", 6'9".
His was a baby hook.
No.
That's what they called it.
I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, but he's a tall dude, though. He ain't short.
Go to the Google. I'm going to get you the answer you're looking for. Magic baby hook.
Magic Johnson, baby hook shot, right there. We remember Magic Johnson's baby sky hook.
Baby sky hook.
Oh, my God. It's the same thing. It was the baby.
Would you not call me on that technicality the other way around?
Because yes, you would, liar. You had no idea that the word baby was even associated with it.
You know me and babies.
Wait, what?
I'm pro babies. You weren't.
Why don't you stab yourself in the eye?
I've already done that for the day,
eye
sir.
His right eye is still smaller than the left eye.
I wish you guys would have seen it. Well, it was outstanding.
He almost lost his eye, two seconds
things
ago?
Things to improve vision and overall well-being. Don't get the arm of your glasses stuck in your eyeball.
It would be great if Joel did the show in a patch.
That's what I said. Coming back from break. More of the suspects. Sorry, matey.
Pirate Joel.
Okay.
His treasure takes.
30 minutes still on the clock. We're going to come back with the final half hour. Then we'll turn it over to the Blitz, where Fred, AJ, and Aaron will take you all the way till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Great show again today, covering a lot of ground, touching a lot of bases, including some baseball, but mostly, obviously, the day after the Super Bowl, talking about everything that happened last night, NFL-wise, otherwise, and news of the day, including the defensive coordinator for the Patriots becoming the next head coach of the Dolphins, and the quarterback's coach of the Rams becoming the coach of the Bengals. Including your offensive coordinator for your Houston Texans.
Yay!
Which we already covered. If you missed any of that, go back, check the podcast. We've covered all of that. And, of course, news of the day that means the most to most of us, which is Aaron Rodgers avoided knee surgery on his left knee, and he's going to be just fine.
You'll cut my mic off for grass talk, but you won't cut his off for Packers talk.
That was relevant news.
Yeah, it's relevant news.
Lawn
front
care,
page of ESPN.
Not so relevant.
I don't see John Deere, Aaron Rodgers, or relevant. How to fertilize your lawn on the front page of ESPN.
Lawn care.
Let me know
not
when you
so
guys
relevant.
Are done so I can rebut. You guys just keep yippity yapping and then I'll rebut. You done?
Rebut, sir.
Do you think there are A, more people in this city that have a lawn, or B, more people in this city that like the Packers? Which do you think is higher?
That's close.
You can't get
your mouth. That is close.
No way. There are way more lawn owners or havers. Lawn havers than there are Packer fans.
But
way
that's
more.
Vital information. People need to know. People who hate the Packers want to know whether or not he's going
to
be okay.
How to care for your lawn is vital information if you have a lawn or if you're not a bum and just decide to let your trees die like you.
It's been raining. Everybody's lawn is fine right now.
Very
not true.
True.
Funguses are among us. Just be aware of that.
Funguses are among us.
So how do you get rid of a fungus?
Nicholas!
I was just going to cut him off is what I was going to do.
Oh, okay.
No, he secretly has one. He just don't want to admit it.
I don't know. I don't even know what a fungus looks like in your lawn. I really don't know.
I'm talking about his lawn.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, it just depends how often do you have a flare-up.
Of course you're going to go down that road.
Of course. Hey, there was a ranking for power foods for late night drinking.
Oh.
So it was from coed.com. It was the power ranking, the late night drunk foods. I don't know if I agree with this.
Okay.
So it's got number five at munchy foods like chips, candy, and chocolate as number five for late night drunken foods. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So candy. I'm not. Are you?
I'm not big on candy.
Not while I'm drunk.
Nope.
They've got chips. Now I'll eat some chips.
Absolutely.
But they have it as just all lumped together as munchy foods.
Chips are your go-to when your first three choices are gone.
Number four, chicken fingers and fries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down with that.
It's a good one.
Number three, burger and fries.
Down
again,
with that.
A good one.
Number two, burritos and tacos.
Yes.
Totally going through Taco Bell.
That you're going through the drive-thru line right now.
What do you think number one is?
Pizza.
Nick, do you have a guess at number one?
I would have guessed pizza, but since he said
you
that.
You can say if that's what you think it is.
I mean, I'm trying to think of something else. Maybe he got it wrong.
No, he's right. Pizza.
Okay. Pizza.
Yeah. I mean, that's the. Do you guys agree with that? This is the number one go-to drunken food?
I think it's all based on accessibility. You know, in a drive-thru, it's going to be tougher to get pizza than it is everything else you named.
That's why I had a problem with the list, because nobody's 2:30 in the morning. Where the hell are you getting a pizza from? There's very few places you can get a pizza from at 2:30 in the morning.
Downtown, you can.
Where? Frank's closes it like, isn't Frank's one of the last open ones?
Frank's still does it. Gotham Pizza still does
it. But that one in Midtown burned down that was open all the time.
It's open until like 4 in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when the club closes, there's not a ton of pizza.
It's busy at 2 o'clock in the morning.
There's also a dude that runs around in the parking lot with a bunch of hot pizzas, too.
Oh, no.
And I hate that guy's. And it used to be $5. Now it's like 10.
It used to be $5.
Get on with your cardboard pizza for $10, bro. I ain't paying that.
Dude, if you got a buzz going, that dude made a killing because people.
He still does.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you have diarrhea for a week because he doesn't wash his hands after he poops and he's handling your pizza. So.
Like, I have to be
because he's grabbing the sausage with those hands, too.
You have to be what?
I have to be incredibly drunk to try one of those pizzas in downtown.
Yeah,
because now he's got a team of them.
He's at the right spot. Dude. He's on the exit line of a bar closing at bar time, and he knows.
Who is this?
There's people sauced up.
He's like this. I think he's like a Middle Eastern dude, and he's been doing it literally since I've been at least 20 years. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like when I was 21, 14, 15 years ago, like, literally, he's been doing it since then.
He's right.
What?
And now he's got three or four guys. It was always $5. Then he went up to like 7. Then he went up to 10. The last time I saw him, he was actually
a little personal pizza.
No. It's like full size pizza in the box,
like a slightly smaller than a large.
So it's okay. So it's not like a Totino's pizza that he's getting for $1.
He's got like
it's more filling.
It's got his own. It's just hot pizza on the instead of like Domino's.
Very generic,
whatever. But yeah,
and he's been making a killing for years.
Yep.
But I hate him because I really want pizza when I'm drunk coming out of the bar, and I just get so mad that it's up to $10 now that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the food truck.
What was the
How
spot?
Does this dude not have a place yet if he's just out there hustling
doesn't
like that?
Doesn't need it. Why does he got to pay for the overhead and everything? He just got to freaking warm him up in the car, put him on the hood for a while, and sell him in the parking lot.
Was he making them at home?
Possible.
I don't know. Because he's literally with 5-10 boxes in his hand.
Oh, I have so many questions for this guy.
There's no way you would buy that pizza considering your germaphobe issue. But when you're drunk and.
Yes.
I didn't care.
Well, I did eat pizza off the ground once when I was drunk. So I might buy it.
That's what I'm saying. So he walks up and he's got, say, 10 to 12 boxes stacked up. And he'll be like, I don't care what you want. I got pepperoni or I got cheese. And I swear to God,
those are your two choices.
Pretty much.
He keeps it simple.
And I would one guarantee topping. You he sells them all within about 15 minutes to a half hour.
He legit has a team because he'll be parked out right outside
Pub
like
Fiction.
One block down from Lil Woodrow's, which I think where is Pub Fiction. But the guy who was the bachelor and who started that stupid Dogwood. He's always right outside Dogwood.
Really? Yeah. On Twitter, Big Worm said, yo, Barry, the pizza man that drives the van. So I guess he has a van?
Yeah, now he does. First, it was just like a car.
He's moving up. See? No overhead. He's got liquid.
It's like a truck with like
business.
A camper, but like it's made to like store.
He says it smacks. He must be good.
Think Scooby-Doo's van with pizza.
Oh, no. See, I don't want that. You got like, no. He's probably like sweating on it. Oh, God.
In Midtown.
No. Big hairy sweat. Ugh.
There was a pizza joint that stayed open like almost all, like way into the wee hours of the morning, and it burnt down. It was on Fairview, right there, right off of Midtown. But everybody would just get in the car to drive like two or three blocks and knew that if they got to that parking lot, they were safe.
So now here's another one. I can't believe it. I've lived here my whole life, and I don't know this dude. But of course, I always stayed on the north side of town.
I don't even know his name, but I could spot him from a mile
away. So somebody, Houston media critic on Twitter said, I never knew where he operated out of until I walked into a pizza place. It's Firehouse Pizza off of Bissonnette and Bel Air. Dude has hundreds of uncooked pizzas in the kitchen. And I guess he just makes them and
warms
goes them out
up,
there.
Gets them in the car, the van, and goes.
You know what? I can't knock the hustle because, like you said,
oh, he's a hustler.
It's like that thing you saw in the news where I'm pretty sure it was a joke, but like Girl Scouts were setting up outside of weed places in LA, and selling cookies to people that would get high. Like that's genius. That dude's smart. He's like the Mattress Mac of pizzas, where he's like, you know what? I'm a hustle, and he's building his thing. That's great. I wouldn't buy one. There ain't no damn way.
When I was younger, I didn't care. Now I won't.
But at least the Girl Scout cookies come in plastic pre-wrapped, can trust. Pizza's coming in a cardboard box.
This is why I won't get DoorDash.
I'll tell you this, though.
I don't trust people with my food.
Multiple times I bought a pizza from them, and then girls would come up and ask for a slice.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times.
You got ass off of ordering street pizza?
I've never gotten ass, but I'm just saying.
You just went with it.
Got phone numbers.
That's crazy.
Friends initiated conversations. Yep. Like, you can go to the bar, drink with them. Like, I'm not even lying to you, dude. Like, they're so when you're that drunk and hungry, believe me, you don't care. You ate a pizza off the floor, you'll eat that pizza coming
drunk.
Up.
I was very drunk.
Well, that's what happens when people leave bars.
I also wasn't a germaphobe yet.
Oh, okay.
This has been a developed thing from my wife.
You grew into that.
Yeah, my wife ruined me with germs. So that was the time when I didn't care. That's crazy, man. Good for him.
Yeah, he's got quite the
hustle.
The business going. And see, no overhead.
So see, I guess in that regard, then I could see why pizza would make the list as number one. And maybe in other cities, there's a lot more options for pizza after hours. But I just feel like the drive-thru would be more universally accepted.
I agree with that. But in the case of the pizza guy, think about this too. No taxes.
Yeah, he's smart.
Right?
Yeah, he's just out there $5, $10 a pop.
Someone gets something bad in their pizza, can't find him. We just got done describing a guy that's been like the international man of mystery. What, does he drive a car? Does he drive a van? Where's he operating out of? We don't know. But guess what? Come bar time, he's got your pizza, and then he's gone.
Damn. What a hustle.
It works.
It's so random. It doesn't look trustworthy at all, but the city of Houston absolutely embraced this pizza, dude.
Yes.
Like, because literally when he first started, it was his car. He'd be pulling up in a broke-ass Toyota smoking muffler, and he'd have pizza, though, and no one would care.
And no one has turned him into Marvin Zindler or any of that. That's insane.
Numerous times I have purchased pizza from that.
Can't knock the hustle, I guess.
Without question.
Was it good? Was the pizza good?
At that point, you don't care.
But no, I mean, what was it like? Damn, this is some
no
good ass.
Way.
It's a little dry, too,
because
sometimes you get a pizza that's, it's not cold, but took them 30 or 40 minutes
to
sell it.
The cheese has gotten a little texture to it because it's not warm enough anymore.
I mean, Big Worm, his quote, it smacks. That means it's good.
I don't think it's that good.
Okay. I don't either.
All right.
I thought it just did exactly what it was supposed to do when you're coming off a buzz at bar time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show, then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Okay, final segment of the big show. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. You don't have to do a darn thing, and you are entertained beyond belief. Good show post-Super Bowl for all of us.
Can I do give a shout-out to our friend of the show, Jerry Rocha?
Yes.
And a heads up to him. So, my heart goes out to him, I should say.
Yes.
Lost his mom, so that sucks.
Just saw the tweet.
Yep. Everybody's with you, Jerry. We're thinking
absolutely
about you.
Yeah, prayers with you, man, and your family and all that.
That sucks. A couple things. So, some people were saying that it was House of Pie. Was it Late Night?
Late Night Pie.
Late Night Pie.
Absolutely correct. Yep.
That was the one that burned down, and a lot of people are vouching for the pizza guy, and somebody said that he delivers it himself. He said, great pizza place. This was a text. Great pizza place. Order for the kids weekly. He delivers himself every time. When we place the order, he just bluntly says, okay, I'll be there. That's it.
Yeah, he's very short.
Place is very clean. Cheese is good. So I guess that's all you can ask for.
Like I said, like maybe when it's been sitting with him for like 30 or 45 minutes in the truck and the cheese, like Joel mentions, the texture of the cheese changes a bit. Ugh. Maybe you don't get the quality you deserve. Ugh. But at the same time, like we said, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Guess you're nobody right. You're really right. Cares. Did you watch any of the UFC fights?
I did not. I did not have a chance.
You know why?
And I don't have ESPN Plus
that's
and
why.
Won't be paying for it. So no, I didn't
I'm
get
with
to.
You. And it, you guys for the UFC aspect or the MMA aspect, me for the 30 for 30s.
Yeah.
I used to record them on my DVR.
Right.
So when I was running on the treadmill, I could run forever watching those damn things. Now the only way you can get them, unless it's the newly released prime time Deion Sanders one, is you got to get ESPN Plus. Screw you. Screw you and your $5 a month, Nick.
It's not that bad. I mean, I will tell you this. If they charge any more than $5 a month now, I think it's unfair. I think when they develop it a little bit more, because, I mean, it's not for everybody. But it's for – look, some people actually watch cricket. They're actually playing, like, women's water polo and stuff like that. So for very, very specific markets, it helps.
I don't want to pay for that, though. Then charge me 7 cents or whatever the part that I want to watch is. Why would I want to pay $5 so you can continue to play cricket?
So you can catch UFC Fight Night?
Was it worth it? Was it good?
It was.
Keep in mind now, you would have got this for free. So go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it was worth it. I like the fact that I can go back and replay. It's archived.
Oh, okay.
I like so that. I like that aspect. There's like a replay tab that you can click on. So I think that's kind of cool.
Right after the fight so you can rewatch it?
I don't know if it's right after a fight, but that's a good question. I probably should check that. I think it is.
But later on, you can get past matches and past cards.
Right. So
okay, cool.
So the headliner was Rafael Asanso versus Marlon Moraes. And the only reason why that was the headline and it wasn't Jose Aldo, because believe it or not, he requested to be the co-main event because he didn't want to fight a five-round fight, which I thought was interesting. But the highlight
smart on his part, though.
The highlight is when Marlon Moraes pulls off the upset against Rafael Asanso. His post-fight interview with Michael Bisping was absolutely hilarious.
Man, first of all, I want to tell you guys, man, you almost lost the main event. I had diarrhea all week, bad. I catch the mosquito here and mess up with Galera.
I catch the mosquito here.
Wow.
Isn't that the funniest thing
yes.
ever?
Yes.
I catch the mosquito here.
And not only...
Poo-poo all over. Poo-poo all over. I poo-poo my pants. I poo-poo the bed.
He was so genuine.
He was like, literally, yo, bro, that's too much information. You don't tell everyone that you can't stop pooping after you just... He won, right?
Yeah, he did. And he was so transparent about it, and maybe some of our Portuguese listeners could tell us, but I think he translates diarrhea at the end.
Galera.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. I need a Portuguese. Because he says diarrhea, and then he, like, translated. The whole fight, what they were doing is they weren't letting the fighters, even, like, Thiago Alves, all the Brazilian fighters that could speak English, they weren't letting them speak English. They were just having them answer in Portuguese, and the translator would speak English. So for the American audience, you got your English from the translator, not from the fighter. So that was the one guy that started off with English because he really wanted to grab the microphone from Michael Bisping.
How do you spell diarrhea?
D-I-A.
Uh-huh. R-R-E-A-H.
R-R. No, no H. E-A.
Oh, D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A.
Okay.
Yeah. So I run.
Oh, wait, that's wrong in the spelling bee.
Yeah, if the ding, it means you missed it. Diarrhea in Portuguese is, I'm going to mess this up, so I'll do this.
Well, at least the computer's on.
Well, look, here you go. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Diarrhea.
What? What was it? Diarrhea.
Well, let me play it again. Hold on, hold on.
I had diarrhea all week, bad. I catch the mosquito here and mess up with galera.
Mess up with galera.
Or maybe it's not. Yeah. I thought it sounded like a
diarrhea right the first time.
Yeah. He said I messed up with galera. I don't know what that means.
How transparent is that guy?
That's hilarious. That's credit my favorite.
To him. That was the highlight.
Who comes in and says, hey, man, I almost didn't make it to work because I had diarrhea. Just say you were sick, bro. Just say, oh, I had a messed up stomach.
You almost lost the main event to diarrhea.
But you won, right? And he was honest, right?
Yep.
Because the other one is.
What if he would have pooped his pants, though? That would have been.
Like that one MMA fighter. Yeah, we've already seen that
times.
Once.
That's happened several
Oh, has
times.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Where you get the skid marks on the back of your
Oh, yeah.
The poop just comes right out of the MMA shorts.
There was a fighter locally.
onto the cage.
God, if Cody was here right now, he'd be throwing up.
There was a fighter locally named Levi West who threw up in the cage while he was fighting. He tapped, basically. He was like, I'm done, and just starts vomiting. In the cage while he's fighting. He just got, I don't know what happened, if he took a shot to the stomach or what, but he's literally, he backs up, holds one finger up like, hold on, hold on, hold on. And the ref's going, what are you doing? And the guy that's fighting, he's like, I'm not holding up. And he's just starting like, oh, there's been some crazy stuff happen.
So I give him more credit than Andrew Whitworth of the Rams. Did you hear his post game?
No.
Comments?
No.
So everybody's all over the Patriots and Brady and six rings and everything else. And this is a guy that's 37 years old. And they you know, he's one of the guys they featured all week about his family, man, first time ever. And you're like, he's going to give him props. He's going to do it. No, he was the downer of all downers.
I realize what this game means. I cherish the crap out of it. And I don't give a crap if you have a Hall of Fame bust, if you're, you know, been a Pro Bowler or win 20 Super Bowls. At the end of the day, you're all going to die and you're all going to have the opportunity to be, play football or not be playing football. And who you are, how you carry yourself, whether you pout and feel sorry for yourself is the only thing that's going to matter because that's what people are going to remember about you.
Boom. Damn. You're all going to, no matter, you're all going to die.
Why was that?
I feel like he was trying to deflect. I don't understand.
Who
I didn't watch
that?
The whole.
Andrew Whitworth, the offensive lineman of the Rams.
That is a mountain of a man, by the way.
Oh, he's a big dude.
Oh,
yeah.
He's massive.
6'7", 330.
Massive.
Yep.
Because we were watching the coin toss, and he was at. He made everybody look like. And my wife and sister are all like, oh my God, he's huge. How big is he? I was like, I have no idea. So I looked it up. 6'7", 330. That's ridiculous.
Played almost his whole career with the Bengals, so it sucked. So the big story was he finally got there.
Now, do you feel like that maybe that was like, can you go back to the middle part? Or just play it again, because it's not that long.
No, it's not.
I feel like there's a subliminal message in here. Just take a listen.
I realize what this game means. I cherish the crap out of it. And I don't give a crap if you have a Hall of Fame bust, if you're, you know, been a Pro Bowler or win 20 Super Bowls. At the end of the day, you're all going to die and you're all going to have the opportunity to be, play football or not be playing football. And who you are, how you carry yourself, whether you pout and feel sorry for yourself is the only thing that's going to matter because that's what people are going to remember about you.
Who you are and how you carry yourself.
I think that's his main message. Like, it's not about all the accolades and awards you won and everything else. It's what kind of person you are.
You think so? Because to me, I thought, oh, is that a shot at the Patriots for being cheaters?
Really?
I mean, that might have been a little subliminal.
That was very indirect.
Who you are and how you carry yourself matters. Hmm. Like, that's the other thing. Can we just mention the fact that during the broadcast, Tony Romo actually says, and I quote, it's like the Patriots know what they're going to do. And I thought, don't start that rumor again.
Oh, I was going to say.
But when you, and then when he said it, I thought, ooh, man, sometimes when you're that dominant, you just have to wonder. That's such a good offense. How do they know everything they were going to do? Damn it, someone needs to look
I heard
into
him
it.
Say
how
it
does Romo know these plays that he calls? Like, he calls it like in
that's
advance.
A good point. That's a good point.
Well, but he
but Romo's never been caught cheating several times.
I think to Barry's point, though, he also referenced, like, from the signals and everything from the, it's like they knew everything because they were talking about audibles at the line, everything like that. And he's like, they knew everything that we were going to do. Because I'll tell you
I found that to be interesting. I meant to bring that up earlier. But
yeah, we should have.
I found that to be interesting.
Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow, because here's the other thing. I know several guys that were on several networks as ex-players talking about this. They're really good liars. because all they could do was give credit to the dynasty of the Patriots. I know when those cameras aren't on,
let me tell you something.
They got the red ass about the cheaters.
There you go.
So,
we'll discuss that tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Put that on the list. All right, hey, we appreciate you guys being along for the ride on a Monday. We're going to be back again the rest of the week. You should too. 1 to 4 every single day. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two farts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.